To order. We'll go ahead and move to approval of the agenda.
Approve the agenda as is.
All in favor?
Aye.
Approval of the board minutes for February 24th, 2022, and I understand there's some amendments to that.
Correct.
The ones that were pointed out to me was that Member Doyle was not present at that meeting. That's on page one. On page two, it keeps referring to the date of March 25th, and it's been pointed out to me that that was March 24th, is what that date should say. Is there a motion to approve the board minutes as amended?
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Do we have any visitors' comments? Go ahead.
Good evening. My name is Jennifer Briner. I am a registered nurse, and I have worked at Petersburg Medical Center for almost 26 years. I am proud of the work we have done and continue to do as an independent community hospital. Because of our flat organizational structure, it goes board, CEO, managers to staff, we have been able to be innovative, efficient, and most importantly, patient-centered. We can, without delay or red tape, make decisions to improve, change, maintain, or expand services to positively impact the people of Petersburg, sometimes for only one or two people, and to those people, it makes all the difference. The people of PMC are committed to their work and their community. They develop and deepen their roots in Petersburg. They buy houses, they raise their families, and they strengthen the social and economic foundation of our island home. I support an independent community-based hospital for our hardworking and independent community. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other visitor comments? Yes, Doctor.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Mark Tosillo, and I've worked here for 30 years, but what you may not know, I used to work for Search, I used to work for Norton Sound, I used to work for South Central, so I have kind of a passing familiarity with some of the structure and organization. And I got to say up front, I am all for collaboration with anybody that's willing to collaborate with us. What I'm not in favor of is having our power usurped and or being consumed by another entity, which is going to take away our ability to do all of the things that Jennifer just said. We're nimble and we have an expanded scope of practice. We decide what we can do for people and what we cannot. The things we potentially give up are, and this is from a provider's point of view, is our credentialing, our privileges, our scope of practice, our ability to recruit specialty clinics. If you've seen recently the assumption of some portion of dental care and mental health, and not has been a stellar start in either area. I don't really know how the structure works for beneficiaries versus non-beneficiaries when it comes to billing. It's also a somewhat convoluted process when the overseeing agency would not be your referral hospital because we are not all beneficiaries and can't all go there. There is a tendency in this, well, probably it's a tendency everywhere to centralize services, and mental health's been doing this for a long time, and basically what that means is we move everybody to Juneau, Juneau gets better service, and everybody else gets what's left over. So not having boots on the ground here really does not benefit us. And that's basically what this is. This is centralized care for Southeast Alaska. Search is the big player in Southeast, and they've successfully gotten into a number of communities, and I can say that I don't have an intimate knowledge of everything. I've heard good things and bad things, but you hear that anywhere. But part of this is, and unfortunately, yes or no, this is, you know, a pursuit for grant money and probably critical access status. And once the grants start flowing, it seems like the impetus to fill positions, keep things stocked, and provide services to these smaller communities kind of becomes a secondary issue. I'd be concerned about our critical access status. That's kind of what we live and die by at this point. Again, I would love to have collaboration, and I've kind of heard, you know, with previous conversations that the assertion is from the search is that, well, it's our money, we would have to be in control. I guess my retort to that is it's money that you have been given as a steward to provide the best service for your service area, because the money comes from all of us. It's not truly anybody's money. It comes from the government, and we expect whoever doles out that money to do the best job they can providing care for people. That's all I got.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other comments?
I'm Dr. Buck Bania. I worked for Search at one point, and I'm now doing some locums work here at Petersburg. To avoid going into details that might land me in trouble, I would simply advise extreme caution to the board before considering any offer. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other visitor comments?
Good evening. My name is Kirsten Testoni, and I am the manager of the Home Health Department at Petersburg Medical Center. I wanted to talk a little bit about what happens outside the walls of the hospital and the impact that my team, along with the support and collaboration of PMC, has been able to provide in the community. Things like getting people entitlements, connecting them with services. My staff goes as far as taking garbages out for people when they have no one else there to do it. We provide a wide range of services, and it allows people to stay home and age in place. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other visitor comments?
Hi, I'm Selena Bird. I'm one of the family practice docs here in town, and I just want you all to know I have worked for health systems before. I am here in Petersburg because it's a local community-based hospital that doesn't have a home office back in Oklahoma or somewhere else that's telling us what to do. That is the main reason I am working in Petersburg today, and I love it here. I want to stay here. We're getting entrenched in the community here and really feeling like we're contributing as a family to the community. It's a great town. It's the most beautiful place on earth, and I really appreciate the fact that there are not really any chain stores here, no fast food, helps me to eat healthier. I would encourage people to think about their health care in the community and that aspect too. Fast food may be less expensive and easy and sound great, but you can't beat a home-cooked meal. Thanks.
Any other visitors' comments?
Erickson, president of ANS, Alaska Native Sisterhood, Camp 16. I know that there's been a lot of discussion, and I see the points on both sides, but I'd also like to take into consideration the cost it takes to set up appointments, to have our people go outside the community to the other hospitals. That's costing the state and Search a heck of a lot of money. And we don't have all the facility here that we need to serve everybody all the time. There's a lot of people that have to be medevaced out, and that costs money. There are cases of rhetoric on both sides that pros and cons. For myself, I can say I have received very good care at Search. I have received decent care here. Search care is more thorough, in my opinion. I've gone into their offices and been checked from head to toe. Here, I get a diagnosis according to what I give to the person. There's not a whole lot of questioning about what my condition is. Sometimes there is no real answer and I get referred out. And I just think that those are some things that should be considered along with the homegrown recipe. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Get an opportunity to speak here, but not that it makes any difference really, but I've been here for 60 plus years and I have two children that now age 50 and 48 that live down south that were born in the old wooden Petersburg General Hospital. Florence Leroy was the head nurse at the time, and then Joy Jansen was. They were both excellent caregivers, as was everyone else in the hospital. My wife, whom I'm sad to say we lost just over 2 years ago, and I have both had pretty serious issues and received very good care from the Petersburg Medical Center. Before going further, I see that a lot of Search supporter signs in the yards of close friends and neighbors, and I wish that I'm not too offensive to them, but I do have some contrary thoughts. I hope that they'll forgive me. I know that the Petersburg Medical Center building has some issues that need addressing, including possible construction of a new facility, which would, to me, be preferable to continue to be owned by the city and operated independently. It seems to me that Search is kind of ready to pounce on the possibility of a down and out situation. Search is said to be a nonprofit organization, but they would add a new level of bureaucracy, for the lack of a better word, to the hospital. There would no doubt be increased administrative costs and leadership salaries over and above what the hospital now has, and therefore probably increase the cost of medical care. I've heard it said that doctors might be locum tenens or itinerant people, as with Dr. Sprague's former office. This would be a terrible interruption in the continuity of care. And I have to confess that this next little bit is hearsay, but I believe it's true. An example of poor care by Search in Sitka has been told by a man formerly of Petersburg who is in school with my son. He reports that he had nausea with a temperature of 101.5 and chills, sent to the ER and getting a CT scan, which didn't show blood clots, but he was put on blood thinners anyway, along with antibiotics and pain medicines, and then waiting for a bed to become available in Anchorage. When his temperature became 102, the room thermostat was set at 80, and maintenance people were unable to reduce it. He says local nurses and CNAs were being paid 5 to 10 times less than traveling ones. He said that some doctors that there that know search very well say that search only cares about the bottom dollar. He finally checked himself out due to getting weaker and with a worse cough and went to Boise. In Boise, doctors there or the hospital made 4 requests for records from Sitka that didn't come. So CT scans and blood work and so on had to be done all over again at significant cost. He said his cost at Boise, including some surgery, came to $19,000, while search charged him $47,000 without surgery in Sitka. So I'm sorry to say that's hearsay, but I believe it's true. I strongly feel that the Petersburg medical care is just fine as it is, that no searching is necessary. Thank you.
Any comments? Are there more visitors' comments?
I actually wasn't planning on saying anything, but my name's Heather. I'm a registered nurse, and I worked for Surge for 1.5 years. This gentleman's comment made me want to get up and say something that I think needs to be out there. I've worked for several large hospital organizations in the past, and Search was my first one in Alaska. I worked in the Midwest before I came here. So I was familiar with how it went, where a little small community hospital was bought out by a larger organization and kind of some of the bumps that come along with that. I was expecting that. I wasn't expecting the issues with understaffing. I wasn't expecting the issues with when we brought our complaints forward to, we didn't actually have a CNO or a DON for a very long time at the location I was at. We had no leadership for nursing. When we brought our complaints forward, we were told that if we wanted to complain, we were replaceable. I think that this is probably not something that happens at every location. I don't think it's something that happens every time someone has a complaint, but it's something that I want to bring forward because nurses are the backbone of our healthcare system. And if we are being not listened to and travelers are coming in and out, this gentleman just talked about continuity of care and better communication, it's a nightmare. So I would urge people, if you are considering supporting Search, to talk to them about how they support their nurses and the CNAs and, you know, doctors and everyone else too, but especially the nurses and the nursing leadership in the organization. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Dr. Matthew West. I'm the director of dental services for Search. And I was not asked or told by Search to speak. In fact, I didn't tell them I would speak at all. I wasn't planning to. What I will say is I've been with Search for 12 years. And about 1.5 years ago, when Mr. Clement asked me to come to Petersburg, it was with the idea that he had heard there was a retiring dentist and it possibly presented an opportunity. And his instructions to me were to go check it out. And when we found that Dr. Sprague was retiring, it was my recommendation that although the practice was old and outdated and most of the equipment ended up being replaced, that the community would appreciate if we purchased his practice and came in invited rather than uninvited. And he said, great, put your best foot forward, and that's what we've done. It's true that a gentleman referenced that we have intermittent dentists coming in and out. That is true. I picked the best in my team, and we have traveled extensively from Kluwak, from Sitka, from Juneau to make sure that this practice here has superior care. We've brought in our pediatric dentist 4 times. We plan to increase what services we provide and make them accessible to everyone. The thing that has kept me at Search over the last 12 years is that I feel like at our core, we meet our patients where they are. And I know that doesn't always feel that way to everyone, but we go to the communities that we serve. We bring our pediatric, this is just dental. Like, I have no stake in the hospital. I have no stake in the medical care. But for dental, we ensure that we have specialty pediatric care in every community we serve on a regular basis. We have orthodontic care in multiple communities, and we intend to expand that, and not just for patients with money. We are the only provider in Southeast Alaska that takes Medicaid for orthodontics. There's several private dentists that do not. We'll bring that service here. Pediatrics, same thing. And when I say we meet patients where they are, I mean we meet them where they are financially. We meet them where they are in their dental journey. We meet them where they are geographically and bring the services there. And I'm proud of what we brought to Petersburg. I think that Dr. Sprague created this incredible legacy, and we've been able to help him to be able to retire and benefit from that financially, and then continue those services here at quite a cost to my staff and myself. My family lived here for 3 months over the summer to ensure that the transition was smooth. And those are the types of resources that Search puts towards projects that matter to them. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Is there any way for Matt to check in his group? No hands. That's all the visitors' comments. We will move on to board member comments. Seeing none. Yes, go ahead.
I'll say something. I want to say that how much I appreciate people coming out and the people that are listening on Zoom. I'm very grateful that the community is taking the situation seriously with needing an improved facility. And I hope that the community can move forward towards that in a unified manner, with the good of the whole community in the forefront. Thank you.
I'll just go ahead and make a comment. We, as a board, have asked Search to come and give this presentation. So I want folks to be aware that we wanted to start a dialogue with them so that we could see if there's places that we can cooperate, care, and just to see what the future is, and also to help answer some of the public's questions regarding the future of the healthcare in Petersburg, because we felt there was a lot of unanswered questions and that we couldn't get those questions answered if we didn't start a dialogue. And so I want people to understand that that's what this is to start a dialogue, and it's nothing more than that, is to at least get a starting point. Any other member comments, board member comments? Okay, go ahead and move on to committee reports. Quality Improvement Committee. Did anyone go to that committee meeting off the board?
I have no comments.
No comments, okay. Community Engagement Committee. We met and went over the questions that we're going to ask of the Search representatives today, and that was about all that that meeting was, we did at that meeting. Moving on to financials. Cynthia, if you can, on there, I was only going to ask if you had anything you felt we needed to cover instead of doing a full-blown report, is just if there's something that we need to be aware of in the financials.
Oh, great. Good evening. We were on the same page. So the only thing I would mention, first of all, is thank you for your patience in receiving the reports. As I mentioned last month, we wanted to take some extra time to do some reconciling. And so now you have everything through February, including statistics. There is one change that I've made since the package that you received. It's a reclassification. If you look on the income statement, you'll see that there is zero for long-term care revenue for the month of February. That was an early copy. And I've corrected that. I'll get it to Phil and make sure you have final copies of it. But there was about $256,000 for long-term care revenue that's actually up on line one. That's the only change. Otherwise, cash is holding. We've got about $800,000 coming in the month of March that's not reflected for Medicare money, which was great, and $1.6 million has been paid back on the Medicare advance. So those are kind of the highlights. Days cash on hand are at 177 and days in AR at 50.
Thank you. Were there any questions for her? on that. Thank you, Cynthia.
You're welcome.
We'll move on to the new business main agenda item is the search presentation and discussion. Yes, sir.
Is that right if I take off my mask?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Chair Cook, directors, thank you for inviting us to come and share some time with you this evening. I think behind me there's a slide presentation, and based on earlier conversations and some of the comments here this evening, I'm going to try to move through the presentation pretty quickly so we can spend some time visiting. I think the nature of my presentation might have been a little bit different than I had anticipated. Again, thank you for inviting me. My understanding and intention was just to introduce myself, introduce Search to all of you, who we are, what we're up to, and what we're about. And that was really the nexus of my presentation. And I found some of the comments fairly interesting, a little surprising, but I think that's all fine and good. And I look forward to getting to a point in the evening where we could chat a little bit, maybe a little more editorially about some of the questions and comments and concerns. Next slide, please. I don't think I have the driver for this thing. These next handful of slides all kind of go together, and this is probably the most interesting, at least to me, it's the most interesting one of the bunch, and I'll speak to the collective of them about who we are and where we are. Search is a not-for-profit tribal healthcare organization that compacts with the Indian Health Service to provide health and related service to Alaska Natives and American Indians within the southeast region of Alaska. It was started... We're currently in 27 communities. It was started under the Indian Self-Determination Act around 1975 or so. And really at that time, it was truly a tribal health care provider that compacted with the IHS to solely provide services for Alaska Natives and American Indians. And over these last 40, 50 years, it has evolved into a community health care provider. We began that journey with the assumption or the granting of several HRSA community health center grant awards in many communities in Southeast Alaska. We're the sole healthcare provider. So we've been in the business of providing healthcare for all members of the community for many, many years. And these last 10 years, it has taken a more decisive turn than that as we've affiliated with other non-for-profits. We've expanded the breadth and width of our service offerings and the emphasis on whole community health. Next slide, please. So this is just a little bit of the history that I outlined, and I'm going to try to move through this. Search is governed, next slide, please. Search is governed by a board of directors that are elected from the 15 tribes that are part of the consortium here in Southeast Alaska. You'll notice that the earlier map, there's 27 communities we provide services, and there are 15 board members. To be a board member of Search, you have to be a member of a federally recognized tribe. So each community that is a federally recognized tribe elects a board member. But we do... I think one of the comments is really about maintaining and ensuring local input and control. And we do that, and is evidenced by communities that opt to join Search that knowingly are not recognized tribes but still contribute to our mission and vision. And that's through a variety of ways. But I think most importantly, I think, as is evidenced in, I think, a later slide, we talk about the local community boards in places such as Sitka and Wrangell. Next slide, please. Here's a quick snapshot of our 15 directors. They're each unique from each of the federally recognized tribes that constitute Search. Next slide. This is our executive leadership team. Is a highly dedicated, highly motivated team of executives that come from both within Alaska and the lower 48. I didn't really take the time to introduce myself, Charles Clement. I originally grew up in Metlakatla, south of here. I started coming to Petersburg in the seventh grade, which was quite a while ago at this point, it feels like, playing basketball. And in later years, That evolved into fishing. I still maintained commercial fishing interests in longlining. The last several years, I've been fishing here. My family was mostly salmon in those days, and one of the original, or one of the early shareholders of what was now, or used to be called Icicle Seafoods. My dad was a shareholder in that organization as well. My background by way of healthcare, I've been in the healthcare business for 25 years. I started out in Anchorage, Alaska after college, working for the State of Alaska Employee Health Plan when it was managed by Aetna U.S. Healthcare. And then I spent the subsequent 14 years working for an organization called South Central Foundation, which is the largest tribal health organization in Alaska outside of the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. And so a lot of my experience comes from much larger organizations prior to my arrival here at Surge. And getting to Surge has been quite a journey, but it's really quite rewarding to be able to, I feel like, working in Southeast Alaska is coming back home. You know, as most of us who grew up here fishing, playing basketball, we can call any number of these communities home. We have friends and family in almost every one of them. And so I currently, for the first 6 years of my time at Surge, I lived in Juneau. These last 4 years, I've lived in Sitka. And I think of those as fondly as I do my home in Metlakatla. The next slide, please. This is a snapshot of our clinical leadership team, including Dr. West, who, again, I did not ask or cajole. I didn't even know he was going to be here. Thank you for the kind words, Matt. I always appreciate a little moral support. But I think on this slide, you'll see people who have similar stories to the clinical leadership that I heard this afternoon or this evening. People like Dr. Vestola, who spent, 30-plus years working in Southeast Alaska out of his residency. Mr. Walker, who I imagine many of you are familiar with, who has made his life's work in Wrangell, building AICS. And then as we merged, he stayed on as the director of behavioral health, Lynn Prezunka down in Wrangell, the medical director, who, again, continues her role that she was in when we merged with Wrangell Medical Center. And so I think they're great stories that you have. They're great stories that we have, people that are committed and dedicated to the communities and the organizations that they serve. And it's nice to hear that resonance. It resonates in both places. Next slide, please. This one is a little busy, just some facts and figures about Surge, who we are, I mean, what we do on a sort of rubber meets the road sort of basis, talking about total volumes, revenues, margins. Right now, our main clinical center is in Sitka, Alaska. We are in the process of building a new hospital there. It's a $300 million project that we anticipate doing a groundbreaking at the end of next month in April. We have a board meeting going on there. And we've recently completed a new hospital in Wrangell that I think we're really proud of. It turned out really, really nice. It was a very engaging and collaborative experience with the community of Wrangell and the ability to bring various organizations, AICS, Wrangell Medical Center, and Surge together in a way that I think, I feel it was 1 + 1 + 1 = 6. I think most parties feel pretty good about how that project came together. And I think just being realistic about it, there's always, wish you could do something a little bit different here, something a little different there. But on the whole, it really was a satisfying a collaborative endeavor. We currently run probably a little more than 1,400 employees, revenues of this last year of $344 million. Next slide, please. Here's just a quick little snapshot. One is the Mount Edgecombe Medical Center. This hospital is over 70 years old. I think, there's What I do know about Petersburg is there's a lot of anxiety about replacing the existing hospital that you have because it is aging out, and I share that anxiety with you. We are running a hospital that is 70 plus years old, and it's hard to deliver state-of-the-art healthcare, the highest possible quality healthcare in some of these environments that are just very physically and practically challenged. And so it's been, you know, one of my goals for the last many years to replace this hospital. As you can imagine, a small organization here in Southeast Alaska coming up with the kind of money that it takes to do that has been a process. And we're there. You know, this last winter we went out and issued our own bond offering through Wall Street, and we're able to raise all the funds, and we look forward to getting shovels in the ground here this spring.
Before you move on through the chair, I just wanted to ask, the statistics that you gave on the previous slide, were those for 2021?
Yes, I believe so. Yes. Is there any that you'd like to know more about?
No, I just was trying to understand the
context of it. Yeah. Yeah. And then just, I think the rest of these are some slides of, you know, again, the old hospital that we're replacing in Sitka. And this is one part of the new Wrangell Medical Center in Wrangell. It's we were able to build on to the existing clinic. So this is basically half the picture of it, the good side, right? And then some of our regional clinics, again, as is pointed out, some of us are familiar, you know, the hub and spoke model, where you have main tertiary hospitals and then you have sub-regionals feeding into them, then you have village clinics feeding into those. And, you know, I think there's pros and cons to it. It was stated earlier, and there's a practical reality to it, but there's issues around just financial practicality. I mean, if you look back to, you know, I do take exception. There was a comment made that Search only cares about the bottom line. I think a lot of things are up for debate and a lot of things are opinion, but many of those clinics that you see, those 27 communities, many of those communities would not have clinics if Search didn't subsidize them. We are committed to each and every community that we serve, and it is not about the bottom line. It is about providing the best possible health care in a responsible, reasonable fashion. And so I think, you know, that is sort of near and dear to my heart as somebody who grew up here and intends to be here till I am no more. It's important to me. There were some comments earlier, and again, I'm kind of sliding in some of the responses to the comments about referral patterns for non-beneficiaries. We actually have several different partnerships around the Northwest that we utilize, and depending on the particular circumstances and the afflictions that people may be suffering from, we can refer accordingly based on eligibility, preference, you know, specific circumstances. I won't go into it, but again, we work very closely with Swedish down in the Seattle area, Seattle Children's, and the Alaska Native Medical Center. We have visiting specialists coming to, right now, Juneau, Sitka, and, soon to be Wrangell. That some of that was sort of delayed by these last 2 years of COVID, but it has really been, our intent to line up partnerships with like-minded organizations so we can present a seamless care to our employees, but also options for our patients. You know, I think that's one of the big things that, you know, coming from Southeast, being so geographically isolated, sometimes it's almost it fills you with anxiety that you're stuck and you need to get to Seattle, or you need to get to Anchorage, or you need to get to Boise, or wherever you need to go. And so we try as hard as we can to make sure that our patients have options and they can be in the driver's seat on where they want to go. And again, just in full transparency, those come with different financial arrangements as well. It's not one price for everything, but again, it is a series of options that our patients have. We, in November, have just finished our strategic plan for the next 3 years. We work in three-year tranches. And again, I think, especially here in today's conversations I've had, there's a lot of assumptions out there. And there is, I think there's a lot of cart before the horse feelings about things and assumptions about where things may or may not be going. And I would just share with you, most of what we do, unless it's covered by a non-disclosure agreement, is really fit for public consumption. There is no mystery. There is no nefarious intent or anything like that. It's pretty straightforward. And I think, again, sometimes emotions and enthusiasm may get away from us or some of us. But again, this is what we're up to right here on this page 17. This is what search is doing. And again, I'm happy throughout the evening and as long as you want and as many days as you want to talk with you about it. You know, we're talking a little bit more this afternoon, you know, with Phil and talking about, you know, I think there are various avenues and various sort of categories of assumptions on what search is doing and what search may want to do in Petersburg. But the very clear reality to that is I speak for search. I spoke to Phil today for the first time in probably over 10 years. And we have not talked about any of the things that people are talking about here. We have talked about, is there an ability to work together, to do something together? We're neighbors. If you need a new hospital and it costs this much money and you can't get it, is there a way that we can help you do something? That doesn't mean anything more than what I just said. I don't know what that means. That's really just a conversation. And lots of people can have lots of conversations, but at the end of the day, you know, I am the one that speaks for search, and I'm sort of authorized by my board of directors to convey these messages, and they have not considered anything. We just said we're open to ideas, we're open to talking. If something fits, it may make sense to do something. It may make sense to do something really big, or it might make sense to do something just very, you know, I'll send you testing kits. How do you need testing? You know, I mean, you know, and somewhere in the middle is probably where something ends up. That's a lot like life, but I think it's a little bit difficult to have a very constructive conversations when so many conclusions have been drawn. And so I would just, as I go through this evening, I just want to share that out because we're kind of getting into the more editorial part of. A part of the conversation. But I can tell you, again, in my experience, once sort of we put things aside, some of the emotions, I think most partnerships that we work with, and we work with various folks in various degrees, you know, from people like ANTHC and Swedish to people like Wrangell Medical Center, and some is very elaborate, some is very straightforward. But those partnerships have to work for all parties. They have to be willing parties for them to work constructively. You know, on page 18, there's a list of past affiliations, mergers, acquisitions. We've done these things coming together. And what I can share with you is how most often these things come together is when people run out of options. When a business is getting ready to shut down, when they've hit the wall, when the owner wants to retire, when a grant goes away and a service is needed in a community. If you look at most of our affiliations, that's where most of these things come into play. We step in and help people out. And through the due diligence, what we find is that we're able to do some things that organizations may not be able to do for themselves. That it's a fixed cost for us. Like I say, network engineering. You know, we have an engineering team in Sitka, and they do all of our engineering for Southeast Alaska, and we add one more site, and it doesn't cost us anything. For another organization, they have to hire the consultants and the engineers and all these other things. So more often than not, these affiliations sort of come together under duress when people are at their... at the end. And I think, you know, from my perspective, that's an unfortunate time for people to come together. It's not people's best of times. And so I think in this instance, the timing is right, right? It's conversation when things are going fine for everybody and say, we don't need to wait for the fire alarm to go off to see, you know, what might be able to be done to optimize healthcare delivery here in Petersburg. And again, I say that without any particular assumption. I don't know what that means, but I do know more often than not, we've been able to bring things to the table. If for the very, you know, at the very least, we are neighbors, and you know, the community of Petersburg's not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. And so I think these are the types of things we could be talking about. Next slide. That's the last of the slides. I do have a list of questions here. I don't know who, where, what, how these got to me, and if you want me to try to answer them, or if you would like to go down and cherry pick the list, or if you want to talk about something else entirely, I'm kind of game for whatever.
Well, I know it would be nice to get the questions answered. That a lot of those came from board, some came from staff, some came from public, some came from other entities in the community. So I suppose the easiest way would just go down and answer them if you can.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll paraphrase the question. I mean, because there's the question I have here is talking about the governance of what would happen to the governance. You know, I think that's taken on a case-by-case basis. Some places are happy to get out of the governance business. You know, when we assumed services in Haines, I think they were excited not to have to deal with it anymore. In other instances, we established community council boards that give input directly to the board of directors, and they work very similar to how they worked previously. I think we do that in Wrangell, and we do that in Petersburg. So I think it just sort of depends. I mean, if we're just talking about sending test kits and specialists, I don't think we would necessarily be inclined to have anything to do with governance. But if it's some other arrangement, there's any number of factors that are any number of scenarios that could be set up to accommodate the needs of any particular community. The next one, are you interested and willing to collaborate with Petersburg Medical Center in providing community health care, long-term goal to absorb PMC and search operations to replace it? You know, I think that's a conversation. I don't have any particular ambition other than to ensure that Petersburg is one of 15 board members, you know, the Petersburg Indian Association, one of 15. And I believe the beneficiaries have the very same rights here, and the community has the very same rights as any other community. And to the extent that we can help enhance the healthcare journey for the community and the people of this community, we would be kind of open to any level of conversation. Let's see. The next one is pretty much the same question. This one talks about what do we anticipate, what services would reside here. You know, our sort of approach has been to maintain at least an existing level of service, and then oftentimes there's a commitment to enhance those levels of service. We did that in Sitka, I think, in Wrangell. It was more of a match and do not decline. I think in Sitka we committed to adding some additional specialty services online, and I think it would just really depend on what it is we are doing together. But I don't think anybody's intention is to deliver a lesser level of care or service offerings in any particular community. I mean, it's really been our goal to try to bring another level, a whole other level of healthcare to Southeast Alaska. That's really been our goal throughout the region, and I don't see any reason why we would try to strive to do anything less, no matter what our collaborative sort of pursuits might be. This one is talking about, let's see, without long term. Something about how committed are we to the long term. I would just say I think we're as committed to our future and our long term as you know. I think we started off, you know, 100 years here. I mean, that's admirable. And you know, I don't see search. It is not our intention to have search go away anytime soon. And search is, you know, in from my perspective, is an embedded part of every community that we participate in. We think of ourselves as when we are in those communities, those are our homes. I don't see that endeavor changing anytime in the future. I mean, that's just the construct of who we are as an organization. At which search facilities can women give birth? Right now, we have an OB program set up in Sitka, I think we've had children born in almost every clinic that we have, but that's not really the ideal. I think we try to do it in Sitka where we feel like we have the resources if things are things go ways that they can go sometimes during childbirth. But I could see that changing over time. I could see Juno becoming an option. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the birthing program is here. I'm just not familiar with it. But again, I think our doctors are, you know, we have doctors in mid-levels that seem to be giving birth all the time and in their clinics are birthing children. What is Search's vision for Petersburg Healthcare Services? You know, I think it's hard to state what our vision would be without having more conversations with the community. It would be presumptive of me to say what it should be. I'm just not that familiar with it. I think what I am familiar with, and I think what we're all familiar with and what sort of arrived us here, is that there is a strong desire for a new facility. And how to make that happen seems to be the nut everybody's trying to crack here. And I think Search is happy to try to assist in any way. I mean, when I say any way, have conversations about anything. I mean, that's a slippery slope. I just don't know. I mean, I will tell you, you know, I think the idea of just prescriptively coming in and saying this is what it should be is very presumptuous of would be very presumptuous of Search. And so I think depending, you know, after this conversation, if people felt like there was more to talk about, I think we'd be super happy to talk about it. And what does that mean? What are the options? What do things look like? What are the pros? What are the cons? Again, I think just to say we would do anything at any price is not fair, but we would also say, is there something we could possibly do to help you out? Probably, you know, I mean, but really understanding what that might look like takes more conversation. This one is about the Crossings program in Wrangell. Really, I don't know how many people are familiar with it, and I'm happy to talk about it. It kind of gets a little bit technical, but we had a program in Wrangell. It was called Crossings. It was adventure-based therapy for adolescent youth. And we recruited youth from around Alaska and took them out for adventure therapy for 6 weeks at a time in Wrangell and up into Canada. And this year, this past January, we closed that particular program, and there was some concern about what, you know, why, what, how, when, where. And it really kind of, we can get into the details. I don't know how interesting it is, but I actually know this one. So, you know, for the last several years, even prior to the pandemic, but exacerbated by the pandemic, the Crossing program, that program in particular, lost upwards of $1 million a year, providing seasonal adolescent adventure-based therapy. And the employees were largely seasonal employees, not all, but many, most are counselors, younger folks. The adventure counselors, I think is what we called them, or something like that. And the patients were from throughout Alaska, not Southeast Alaska, but throughout Alaska. And I believe the majority of the patients were actually from further up north. But the reality of it is the program lost a couple $1 million, you know, over the course of the 2 years. And I guess I would share with you, I think, we sustained that program through the pandemic and kept people on the rolls through the pandemic, knowing that the program, just the fundamental nature of the program had changed. And so what we had decided to do is to, swap out the Crossings program and add in 4 additional long-term care beds to the newly constructed long-term care facility in Wrangell to replace the services and the employment offerings. Every employee was offered another job in a similar type position that they were qualified for, either in Wrangell or anywhere in Southeast Alaska where they might fit. And we
were able to basically absorb those treatment slots by expanding another program that we have in Sitka called Raven's Way, which is a year-round program for at-risk adolescent youth. We're able to do it on a year-round basis. And the challenge, one of the primary challenges with the Crossings program was that it could only happen in the summer when there's no school because there's no schooling component to it. As you can imagine, kids have need for these types of services, not just in the summertime when school's out, but year-round. So I think, you know, we made the determination that it was both financially and clinically more effective to merge those programs and enhance the program that would benefit the local community in Wrangell by adding long-term care beds, which there is quite a waiting list to get into the new facility in Wrangell. So that's probably a little more detailed than you wanted, but I actually knew that one. So at which services can someone receive cancer treatment? Right now, those infusion services, I assume that's what they're talking about, are provided in Sitka. What the approach for providing chemotherapy, obstetrics? I think it'd be on a, you know, we'd have to evaluate it on a case-by-case basis. You know, in Wrangell, we have a little detour because we finished up the hospital right as the COVID pandemic was setting in. I mean, it was, the timing was unreal. And that was really going to be the test bed for expanding specialty care out further out to the regions. And that is just now getting back on track. And I do think things like doing colonoscopies and maybe some infusion services into the future could be a very realistic possibility. But again, Wrangell is our test bed. And now that, well, we're all wearing masks, I shouldn't say the worst is behind us, but many of these things are behind us. I look forward to sort of embarking back down that journey. And I think this comes at a time when we're really pressing our partners at Swedish and ANTHC to expand and enhance specialist offerings here in Southeast Alaska. I think one of the things, you know, that is very difficult, I mean, and I think every healthcare organization has experienced this, whether it's related to getting specialist services or even nursing, it's just demand for healthcare services is not letting up, and the rate at which people are undergoing burnout and alternative employment opportunities, whether it be traveling locums and things like that, are really unprecedented. What assistance would you provide patients who need transport for care you can possibly cannot provide locally? Difference between beneficiaries and non-beneficiaries? That's a fairly technical question. I think it would just depend on what we're talking about, because some patients that don't qualify for, you know, say you don't have the money to travel and you qualify for Medicaid, well, there's a travel benefit that would be associated with that. And so we would comply with the Medicaid rules. If this is someone who is has some sort of chronic disease, and, you know, one of the things that we do, and I didn't catch if you do this or not, we talked about it, but one of the things we do for people with chronic diseases is we actually enroll them in private insurance, and we pay the premiums. And so some of those instances, the things we paid like that. And then sometimes other people's insurance pay for it. So I would say, you know, there is a pretty small window of people who probably don't qualify for some sort of travel benefit. What we do when that happens, and again, it is a case-by-case basis, but I can tell you what we do now, and I'm not committing anything, but we have a foundation, the Healing Hand Foundation, that provides financial and travel assistance for patients that, for things that they may not be able to, that are necessarily in the benefits package or that they may not have the resources. Sometimes there's, say, prescriptions that are outside of our formulary we don't carry in our pharmacy. I have one. And if I was struggling financial means, I could apply to the Healing Hands to help me pay for those. And so there's things like that. I think one of the other things that is really important, and I don't know how important it is to Petersburg, but one of the early aspects of SEARCH is really our participation in the community health center program, the HRSA clinics. And in many of the small communities, If you're a non-beneficiary and you are of limited financial means, you can qualify for a sliding fee scale for your bill. And if you do that, your bill is anywhere from like $5 to $35 instead of like $180 or whatever it might be. And again, that was one of the turning points for Search. One of the things we have done, again, and we have not made a big deal of it, and a lot of people don't know this, but we allow patients to utilize the sliding fee scale in Sitka and in Juneau. Those are the only two communities that we operate in that don't qualify for a sliding fee scale because the financial is based on a community financial assessment. I can tell you Petersburg doesn't qualify, but we would offer the same thing. We offer it in every single community. And if you're limited financial means, you can ask for the sliding fee scale and we'll honor it, even though we don't get a grant to operate that aspect, that program in your community. We just feel like what we offer in one community should be consistent with what we offer in any other community. And we've just taken it upon ourselves to do that. What percentage of Search providers, travelers, locums? This really varies. Places like Juneau, there's not a lot of locums. I can tell you in Wrangell, we have quite a few nurse locums, just disclosing. And it varies. It varies by community. It varies by what's in a community. Sometimes, some communities are stable for 20 years at a time, and then someone decides to retire, and we bring somebody else in, and they don't work out, and there's a 9-12 month period of turnover, and we bring in locums and try to find the right person that fits that community. But it really is on a community by community basis. But our goal really is to try to hire folks who want to be a part of those respective communities. This one's talking about if in the past when we have affiliated, merged, acquired other operations, what types of things would be most likely to be looked at in terms of, I mean, it's not saying this, but I think what the person is getting at is what would you expect to move out of a community? And I think, again, that one would depend on a case-by-case basis. I could share with you the most similar parallel is Wrangell. I think what stayed in Wrangell were many of the clinical positions, and I think those were actually added to. And what we've been able to bring to Wrangell are what ended up not being as much done in Wrangell as had been done in the past are things like information technology, human resources, finance, those things that are really already established in another location. But I think if you look at the headcount, for Wrangell and or Sitka, there's more employees in both those locations than there ever have been in the past. I mean, our goal is to bring as much medical care to the communities that we serve and try to leverage, the economies of scale, the EHR that we've already paid for, the finance and compliance systems that we've already got in place, the policies, procedures, billing systems, things like that. How has PERS retirement been affected? This one's probably a little bit out of my wheelhouse because we don't participate in the PERS program. I think that's something that's offered to community hospitals, and we're, as a tribal organization, not eligible. I can tell you what we do for our employees is, the general would be it's a 5% match on your retirement. I don't know what the latest PERS is, but I imagine something similar to that, a 401k type thing. What is the indirect calculation for staff? I think we generally estimate it to be around 33% for staffing. I think there's different, that question can mean different things, but so when we're writing a grant, we would apply that on top of it to say a staff costs this plus benefits plus these other things. And I think that's maybe what the question is. Would Search consider partnership with PMC? I think, we're game for talking about anything. I think that's where you come up with the best ideas is with quality conversations. I think the rest of these are sort of comments about how people feel about things, and I won't get into those. Nationwide commentary, that's out of my pay grade. So those are the list of, that's the list of questions I have in front of me, and I don't know if that sort of jives with the comments we heard earlier today or with what your thinking is, but I'm happy to try to give a stab at any other comments or questions as well.
Does any of you guys have questions to?
I have sort of a general one.
Go ahead.
Or maybe not so general. You've talked a lot about being willing to collaborate with communities and have conversations with communities, and much of what you've talked about has been very reactive. As an organization, I can't imagine that Search doesn't have some kind of a long-term plan, and I'd like to have a sense of what that might be.
Yeah, I think that's a very astute observation. I think where these last number of years, there's been a couple sort of bigger picture plans, but a lot of this, especially this time of turmoil, has really been, it has been reactionary. You know, a lot of our mergers and affiliations, like I said, is people who have hit the end of the road. You know, when we ended up in Wrangell, you know, I think I got a call one day, Peace Health is leaving next week, can you guys come? Sure, yeah, we'll be there. And it's some of those types of things that, I mean, it's many of those types of things, or we know this grant is expiring in 9 months and we'd like to continue to provide health or behavioral health in Haines. Would you work with us? You know, and we've done a lot of those. You know, I think our plan right now, the big moving parts and pieces for us right now is completing the new Sitka Hospital, and we have several major projects underway in Juneau. Those are the larger markets that we're in. You know, and I think we are working on figuring out how we're going to add additional services into Prince of Wales and up into Haines Skagway area. I think those are the big moving parts and pieces that we're focused on. I mean, those are the things that we're doing. I'm here at your invitation. Mm-hmm. And again, I think as we see, as Dr. West pointed out, as we see needs and opportunities in the regions we serve that have patients that we identify as our responsibility to some degree, we'll move on those as well. You know, doctors retiring, people, you know, losing grants. I mean, that's how we ended up with a larger footprint here in Petersburg. It wasn't mapped out that way. It's just, it was, we perceived it to be a need.
Marley, do you have any questions for him? Joe?
Sorry. Okay. Yeah, thank you. I had a question on the presentation.
Yeah.
On your slide where you show the different communities in Southeast and the different sort of arrangements you have in each, you mentioned Ketchikan as one of those places with shared services. I was wondering, what type of services does Search offer in Ketchikan, and with what entity are these services shared?
So both Ketchikan and Metlakatla, there in blue, we operate a WIC program in Ketchikan, for Ketchikan and Metlakatla. And we receive patients at Mount Edgecombe that are referred from both Ketchikan and Metlakatla to Mount Edgecombe Hospital.
Okay, thanks. What does WIC mean?
Women, infant, and children. It's okay. Yeah.
All right, thanks.
About you, George? Kathy?
I was just wondering if he had a copy of the questions that were specifically asked by the PIA organization.
Oh. Yeah, I have them here, and I guess I felt like they either been answered or they are sort of commentary, but I am meeting with PIA in the morning.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure that their questions are answered.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more like this kind of comments, you know, than questions, it seemed like. So, I don't know.
My name is Kathy Reamer, and I just wanted to thank you for coming. I think we were all kind of blindsided by a visit that happened this last year. The assembly, the mayor of our community called in a person from your organization to provide a presentation. And as a board, we had not been notified of that, and we didn't have a chance to communicate with that person at the time. And so we were interested in learning more about what your goals are for Southeast Alaska and how Petersburg fits into your goals, your long-term strategic plan. So I appreciate your coming, because I think a lot of, you know how it is in small towns, if you're from Metlakatla, the rumor mill gets going. And it was at a very difficult time, because it was smack dab in the middle of the pandemic, where half the town wants one thing, the other half wants the other thing. And so it created an adversarial situation in our community. And I just wanted to be sure that we heard from you, and I like what I'm hearing. I think a collaborative relationship could really benefit both of us. And so I think that if we continue to have these conversations, we will certainly find the best option for the future of healthcare in Petersburg. So thank you for coming.
Cindy, did you have any more questions? How about you, Heather?
Not at this time.
Phil, do you have some questions that you wanted to?
No, I appreciate Mr. Clement coming up, you know, and representing Search. I mean, a lot of my interaction has been with other leadership in Search, so I appreciate you know, the effort coming up. And I also agree with Kathy. I mean, having the opportunity to collaborate is really to serve mutually beneficial, you know, opportunities in the community are really important, I think. And so that we're not at odds. And, you know, I think there are a lot of assumptions out there. So I appreciate you coming up. I appreciate you talking about those things. And, you know, I think that that having those conversations are really important. I hope you'll come up again if we ask you to.
Yeah, I'm happy to come anytime. I thoroughly enjoy Petersburg, and I mean, I think I was sharing with some of you. You know, I still do in these last several years quite a bit of long laying out of here. I just happen to wear literally a different hat. But yeah, I think, you know, even this meeting kind of caught me a little bit off guard, because again, this is the first time Phil and I have talked in at least 10 years, and for things to have gotten so far down the road of I heard this and I heard that, it was a little bit, you know, well, we haven't got there yet. I haven't even been to Petersburg, and normally, you know, it would be 10 of these conversations and then this conversation and then this conversation as we kind of move down a path that we feel is workable for folks. And again, it's a little bit out of sorts for me, but I'm always happy. I enjoy these sorts of things. I mean, I think through hard conversations, that's where some of the best potential sort of ideas come from. So I really appreciate the invitation, and I'm happy to come down anytime. I mean, and I absolutely mean that. I enjoy Petersburg thoroughly, and happy to be here. And next time you call, just let me know. And if you have a question, just call me directly. You know how to find me. So does she. Inside ball.
So I wanted to thank you for coming down. It's like I said, we needed to have a conversation. There was a lot of public concerns, a lot of public questions that we couldn't answer without having a conversation. So we will look forward to continuing conversations. And I would like to point out to the folks that I'm sure you may have more questions and I'm sure you may have more concerns. Come talk to us. We're the whole board here. We want to hear what you have to say. We want to know what the community is thinking. And if you can't find one of us, Phil, going to put you on the spot. He's there too for checking in with to see what we can do going forward. This is just a conversation. It's a start of a conversation, and we will probably continue it. But up to this point, we've never sat down and hashed anything out, so we couldn't answer a lot of questions. And that was my real point, was starting a conversation so we could try to get some answers to you guys when you had questions for us. Anyone else have any questions of? Okay, I guess we can move on to the next item, which would be our next meeting.
April 28th.
April 28th. I will not be here for that meeting, but George will be. So. Okay. Anything else?
I also will not be here on the 28th.
How about the rest of you?
I'll be in Anchorage, but I can probably zoom in.
Okay, and I may be able to call in. I'll have to see what's going on that night. Do I have a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
So, thank you. Thank you all for coming in.